Good morning.
Good morning.
Here we are in our third Sunday of Advent. Christmas season is going fast. So, isn't that wonderful to see all those kids going back? Be a part of that. Getting bigger. So, two Sundays ago, I talked about how the world was, because of the fall, the world lived in deep darkness, and that people were oppressed by that darkness, and they had no hope, and that the only hope that they did have was Christ, and some people could see and see how Christ would be that hope for them, and so looked forward to that time, beginning with Genesis 3:15, through Abraham, through Moses and David, and finally culminated in Christ, in his birth. And then last Sunday, I talked about how Christ is the fulfillment of that light. So out of the darkness comes this light, who is Christ, and how he manifests himself as light to the world and gives them hope. And it's because of that light that humankind can have salvation. So this Sunday, I'm going to talk about how, because of Christ and through Christ, and because Christ lives in us, we imitate Christ in that we are now the lights in the darkness of the world, that there is this progression that is supposed to take place. John MacArthur once said, "Satan continues his efforts to make sin less offensive, heaven less appealing, hell less horrific, and the gospel less urgent." And I think that's absolutely true. Probably 5 or 6 years ago, I did a sermon series on the Gospel of John, and I did the seven great I am statements that Jesus spoke of in the Gospel of John. And one of those, out of the seven, I asked this question: why is it that the good news doesn't sound like the good news anymore? Why doesn't the good news sound like the good news anymore? If you think about that, my generation, for many people who came to faith in Christ, when they heard the good news, it was good news. During the time of Jesus and during the patristic period in the Middle Ages and all the way up through the Enlightenment, when people were confronted with the gospel, when they realized that they had no hope other than Jesus Christ, it was incredible good news because there were no other solutions. But in our world today, all solutions are obfuscated. They are confused. They are blurred. There is a tremendous amount of misinformation about who Jesus is, what Christianity is. And so for many people today, when they talk about solutions in terms of how to fix their life or what happens to them in terms of when they die, where do they go, Christianity is just omitted altogether. They simply bypass that and move on to other offerings that the world has because of this kind of thing. Satan continues his efforts to make sin less offensive. When you think about the list of sins when we were growing up versus the list of sins today, that's a much shorter list. Heaven less appealing. Hell less horrific, if it exists at all to many people. Because after all, God is good and he's nice and he doesn't get all bent out of shape about sin or people who don't follow him. It's okay, really. And even if he did, it's unfair. He shouldn't be that way anyway. And so therefore, the gospel is less urgent. But the gospel is very urgent. And now that Jesus Christ has come, and he has died, and he has risen, he has given us this thing called the Great Commission. And out of that great commission, we are called to be light in the world of darkness. There is no greater job. That is the essence for a believer in our world today. That is the essence of our purpose. Now, there are many other sub-purposes. But at the end of the day, when we stand before the throne and we are judged, the criteria will be, in what way did you represent me well? In what manner were you light in a world that was incredibly dark? How did people look to you to get hope because of the light that came out of your life into the dark world in which they lived? I'm telling you, just as sure as I'm standing here, and just as sure as you are sitting there, that is going to be the essence of the question. So the Apostle Paul says to us in Ephesians 5, verses 18 through 13, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." Now, I'm just going to stop and say right here, if we do this in our life wholeheartedly, we are running headlong into the world in which we live. We will, without ever trying, we will probably make some enemies. They will resent us because of this very thing. When I was a teenager, when I was in college, I certainly could have made a lot of improvements in my life, spiritually speaking. But there were people that I encountered who resented whatever light I had in my life, resented that light. Not because in many cases did I even have to say anything to them. It's because whatever light was there exposed the darkness in theirs. And they were embarrassed. And they resented it. "For at one time you were darkness." Paul was so subtle, isn't he? So, like, at one time you were of Satan. At one time you allowed the spiritual forces of the air that rule this world to rule your life and to influence you and to use you in a way that was destructive to this. That's all wrapped up in this statement here. At one time, you were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. If you are a believer, if you know Jesus, now you are light in the Lord. Why? Because Christ lives in you and me, and He is light. So I think years ago I used this illustration. There was this little girl who was with her mom in church one Sunday, and the pastor was talking about how huge God is. Enormous. Could not be contained. And then in the next breath he said that that same God lived in us. So she was kind of curious. And as they were leaving church, she said, "Mom, is it really true that God is that big?" And her mother said, "Yes, it is." "Is it also really true that God lives in us?" "Yes, honey, that's true. He does." "Why do you ask?" "Well, it just seems to me that if God was that big and He was contained in us, that some of them ought to leak out more than what does." And that is true. "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." The fruit of light. "And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness." Hey, look, I'm just going to tell you, as I read that phrase, "take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness," I'm confused about what some of that may look like. I mean, things have just blended so much in our world today. We're not always sure what is of the dark and what is of the light. It's just sometimes it's just confusing. And if I'm confused by it, I know there have to be a lot of other people who are confused by it. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. So here we are then, that now that we know that the world lived in darkness with virtually no hope other than this, for many people, for some people, just this distant hope of there might be this Messiah. That was stage one. Stage two, this Messiah actually showed up and light exploded upon the world. And so Jesus, in his life, was the light and life of men, John tells us. And now that Jesus has resurrected, he has passed on the agency of being light to those who believe in him. We are agents of light in the darkness of the world in which we live. Now, as some examples of what that might look like, I think that there are five nativity characters who were called to be light that we might be able to identify with in some way. As I shared with you before, in Isaiah 9:2 is our Advent theme. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has a light shined. Now, I want to go, and Mike, if you could, go to the next slide of this. It's two slides away from that, because I've modified it a little bit for all of us. And it's Isaiah 9:2, and it says ESV at the bottom, Mike. I'm kind of going out of sequence of my slides here, but I want to read this again. So the next two slides from that. There we go. The people, our family, neighborhood, and those at work who walk in darkness have seen a great light in us. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has our light shined. That text was a reference to Christ. But I do no violence to the scripture when I amplify it out so to say that it could be us as well. Post-resurrection Christ. Does this make sense to you? I mean, the people, do we live in a world of darkness? Do we live among people? Our family, our neighborhood, those at work, do they walk in darkness? Have they seen a great light? In us, have they seen a great light? Have they seen the light change our lives in a way that now they want that light for themselves? Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them our light has shined. So that text applies to us. Post-resurrection Christ. It belongs to us. And so I think that we should take it seriously. And I think that one other thing I want to mention to you is this text before we get to these five characters. It's the text from Isaiah 5:20. If we doubted, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. This is the great reversal that we live in today. Christians are really evil. They're all hypocrites. They're uninformed. They're uneducated. They're less evolved. What you really need to trust are other examples within the culture. They are better. They're more informed. They are better educated. They are more evolved. Things that were dead wrong when you and I were growing up now are celebrated. And if we refuse to participate in that celebration, then we are wrong. It is the great reversal in the world in which we live. It is Isaiah 5:20. And these are the people, many of whom we live with, that are family members, that are our neighbors, and people with whom we work. So how can we be light in their life? What way might God call us? Well, I think it's one of this could be one of these ways. I think that some of us need to be prepared to be hijacked by God. Because these five characters were all hijacked by God in order for him to achieve his purpose in the life and in the darkness in which people found themselves. Here are the five characters: Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, the shepherds who were outside Bethlehem, and the Magi who were from the Orient or modern-day Iran. Of those five people, there were about five unifying themes that were characteristic of all of them. So they all are similar in this way. Every one of those characters implied trust and had a certain amount of piety. So they trusted what God called them to do as he was hijacking their lives. And they were pious. They were devout. They loved God. They wanted to be faithful. The second thing is that they were willing to be faithful, and they gave sacrificial responses. Every one of these people that I'm going to go through this morning were faithful in how they sacrificed their lives as God hijacked their lives to be light in the darkness in which they found themselves. They were willing to serve a particular role, a unique role that no one else could serve. And so that role was what put the edge on the light that cut through the darkness in which they found themselves. They were the people who were tuned into God so that they could hear him speak and so that their lives could be hijacked. So, in a very real sense, all five of these characters were all in. They were all in.